Romans chapter 3. Universal Corruption. Man's Corrupt Words, part 1. Introduction. We often underestimate the importance of words. That's because we are so used to using them wickedly. We want our words to be regarded as trivial so that their consequences will be trivial for us. We say things we don't mean. We bite and devour each other without giving it a second thought. We slander and gossip, and we call it information or concern. But God regards words much differently. He himself has invested his word with so much power and preeminence, both written and living. His word endures forever. Similarly, what we speak is broadcast into God's universe, and it also spreads outwards like ripples on a pond, having far-reaching and eternal consequences of which we may not have any inkling until that day when he who knows all reveals all. The sins of the mouth are given great prominence in this final summation of man's corruption. We should take note of that. As Christians, we ought to know better. No less than God himself has advised us that in James 3:8, no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. No man can control it. Only God can. Will we submit our tongues to him, or will we be like this? Their throat, we're told in Romans 3:13, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The very sounds we speak originate in our throats. God describes the ungodly throat as a grave, an open grave. Graves ought not to be open, but covered for the sake of the living. Graves contain corruption. They stink and are full of disease, rot, and ugliness. If this grave is the place where ungodly speech begins, then nothing good can be found in it, nothing living, vital, and graceful. Have you listened to the conversations that unregenerate people have? Do you quietly observe the banter, for example, in the lunchroom at work? Complaint, rebellion against authority, speaking evil of leaders, bitterness, filthy language, blasphemy, negativity, licentiousness. The woeful list is endless. But people expect this of each other, and if you don't participate, you're regarded with suspicion or even anger. It's the norm. Nobody sees anything wrong with it. They want you to approve of it by partaking with them. And if you're honest, you'll see that you used to do the same. And it's only God's grace that restrains you now. Not your own self-control or willpower, but that self-control which is fruit of the Spirit of God himself, Christ in you.